Ramayan Balakanda, Part 4. 13 days after the birth of Kausalya's child, Vasishtha Muni, the family priest of Maharaj Dasarath, performed the name-giving ceremony. The fortunate Rishi named the son of Kausalya Rama, while the son of Kaikeyi was named Bharata, and the twin sons of Sumitra were named Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Thereafter, Vasishtha took charge of performing all the purificatory rituals for the sons of Dasharath, culminating with the sacred thread ceremony. Under the guidance of Vasishtha, all four brothers became masters of the Vedas, great heroic warriors, and reservoirs of all godly qualities. However, from birth, Ram outshone his brothers in all respects. Quite naturally, Ram became the favorite son of Maharaj Dasharatha. And likewise, from childhood, Lakshmana was very attached to Ram. And similarly, Ram was not willing to eat anything or even go to sleep without his brother Lakshmana. Whenever Ram went hunting, Lakshman unfailingly accompanied him. Shatrughna and Bharata were also very dear to each other and thus inseparable. So after Ram, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Shatrughna completed their education, Maharaj Dasharath began to consult with his family priest, Vasishtha, about their marriages. And during one such discussion, the great and powerful Brahmana, Vishvamitra, arrived in Ayodhya. And when he entered the palace, Dasharath and Vasishtha immediately got up from their seats to greet him. After properly worshipping Vishvamitra, Dasharath brought him into the court, seating him on a throne. Dasharath greeted Vishvamitra, "O foremost of saintly persons, may all your endeavors to conquer repeated birth and death meet with success. I consider your coming here as welcome a gift as nectar placed into one's own hands, as torrential rainfall after a long drought, as the birth of a son for one who was childless, the recovery of a great treasure that was once considered irrevocably lost, or as the joy one feels on a festive occasion." When Vishvamitra then asked about Dasharath's welfare, the king humbly replied, "O great Rishi, your coming here is a great blessing for me. Indeed, you have bestowed a great honor upon me. So please inform me of your desire, so that I may serve the purpose of your visit." Pleased with Dasharath's reception, Vishvamitra replied, "I was engaged in the performance of a great sacrifice, and it had almost reached completion when two Rakshasas named Maricha and Subahu interrupted the performance by dropping flesh and blood upon my sacrificial arena. These vicious Rakshasas are determined to frustrate my attempt. Thus, repeatedly, they have polluted my sacrificial altar. And so, that I may successfully complete the sacrifice, O King, I have come here to take your son Ram to my ashram in order to kill these terrible Rakshasas. Please do not hesitate to fulfill my request out of parental affection, for I assure you that Ram will easily be able to accomplish this task. And in return for your generosity, I shall certainly give you ample benedictions. Therefore, please allow me to take Ram for just 10 days. Rest assured that he will return back to you safely. Vishvamitra's words pierced the very core of Dasharatha's heart. The king's entire body began to tremble. Then, after the rishi fell silent, Dasharatha fainted on his throne. Moments later, when Dasharatha regained consciousness, he once again considered the prospect of losing his son Ram and fainted for a second time, falling down onto the floor. After an hour, the king regained consciousness. Then, upon seeing Vishvamitra before him, Dasharatha pleaded, "O foremost of sages and well-wisher of everyone, my dear son Ram is only 16 years old. Why, he has not even finished his military training and has never entered the battlefield. So please, do not ask for my inexperienced son. Instead, let me accompany you along with an Akshauhini of soldiers in order to kill these Rakshasas. However, if you insist that Ram must go, then let me and my army come to fight alongside of him. My dear Vishvamitra, I am an old man. Without Ram, I could not bear to continue living. So please tell me all about these Rakshasas and the extent of their prowess." "O king, the Rakshasas are led by a demon named Ravana, and he is now oppressing the entire world. When he does not personally obstruct the sacrifice, he deputes these two powerful Rakshasas, Maricha and Subahu, to do his mischief. Just upon hearing the name of Ravana, Dasharatha became increasingly despondent."
"Oh,
no one is capable of fighting against Ravana. Why, even just these two Rakshasas are too formidable, either for my son or for me. Therefore, O Rishi, I cannot fulfill your request. Indeed, I cannot bear to think of allowing my son to accompany you." Becoming nearly mad with grief, Dasharatha began to speak incoherently, refusing Vishvamitra's request. The Rishi thus became highly insulted and angrily declared, "O foolish king, your impudence will cause the ruin of your entire dynasty. You have promised to serve me and have now gone back on your word. Such behavior towards a Brahmana has never been heard of in the Raghava dynasty. Therefore, I shall quickly leave this condemned place." And because of Vishvamitra's sudden anger, the whole earth began to shake, and even the demigods in heaven became afraid. Appraising the situation, Vasishtha hurriedly approached Maharaj Dasharatha. "O king, do not destroy all your previously acquired merit by abandoning righteousness. You have made a solemn promise, and now you must fulfill the request of Vishvamitra by giving him your son, Ram. As for me, I do not think you have anything to fear. Formerly, when Vishvamitra was king, he received celestial weapons from Lord Shiva, which had been born of the daughters of Daksha, Jaya and Suprabha. Vishvamitra will surely give these weapons to Ram, as well as all necessary prowess to kill these Rakshasas. Indeed, Vishvamitra could easily kill Maricha and Subahu himself, but he is seeking Ram's help just to enhance the glory of your son." After hearing his preceptor's words, Dasharatha's fear subsided, allowing his mind to once again become balanced. Thus pacified, Dasharatha agreed to Vishvamitra's proposal. Dasharatha then summoned Ram to the royal court. Because the two were inseparable, Lakshmana also presented himself before his father. Dasharatha affectionately smelled the heads of his sons, and the brothers then departed with Vishvamitra walking in front, and Ram and Lakshman following behind, bows in hand. And as they were leaving the palace, flowers showered upon them from the sky. After walking along the banks of the river Sarayu for 12 miles, Vishvamitra stopped and said, "My dear Ram, please sip some water for purification, and I shall now teach you 2 mantras known as Bala and Atibala. After learning them, you will become free from the influence of fatigue and old age, and you will also gain incomparable wisdom and strength. Although I know that these qualities already exist in you, I still want to impart these mantras unto you for your benefit." After receiving the mantras, Lord Ram shone with the brilliance of 1,000 suns. The three then spent the night happily on the banks of the river Sarayu and the Ganga. Upon seeing an ashram of Rishi situated there, Rama inquired about its history, and Vishvamitra replied, "This is the very place where Lord Shiva burnt Cupid to ashes after he tried to disturb Shiva's deep meditation." The next morning, Vishvamitra and the 2 brothers crossed the Ganga. While in midstream, Ram could hear the loud sound of cascading water, although there seemed no apparent reason for the sound. Asked why this was so, Vishvamitra explained, "Once upon a time, Lord Brahma created a lake from his mind. That reservoir of water became known as Manasa Sarovara. The river Sarayu flows from that lake, and the sound you hear is the water coming down from Manasa Sarovara, joining with the Ganga. O Ram, you should offer prayers and obeisances at this sacred place." After arriving at the southern bank of the Ganga, Ram saw a dense, uninhabited forest and thus inquired, "This desolate forest invokes fear in the heart of anyone who beholds it. Please tell me why." After King Indra killed Vritrasura, who was apparently a demon, Indra became overwhelmed by sinful reactions and lost his splendor. In order to restore him to his normal condition, the demigods bathed Indra in Ganga water, which was empowered with Vedic mantras. Then, taking that water containing Indra's impurities, the demigods deposited it in this very place. Because this land accepted his sinful reactions, Indra gave it the benediction that it would become a very prosperous country. In this way, 2 flourishing kingdoms named Malada and Karusha were established. Later on, however, a wicked Rakshasi named Tataka came here and began to terrorize the citizens. This Rakshasi was the wife of Sunda, and their son is Maricha, whom I have brought you here to kill. Gradually, all of the inhabitants of this place became so greatly harassed by Tataka that it now remains deserted. Oh, my dear Ram, I want you to destroy this she-demon today, thus freeing this country from her oppression. As long as this Rakshasi lives, no one will even dare to enter this forest. Oh, great Rishi, if it is appropriate, please explain how this Rakshasi became so powerful. Once, there was a powerful Yaksha named Suketu, who pleased Lord Brahma by his performance of severe austerities. Being childless, Suketu desired a son, but instead, Lord Brahma awarded him a powerful daughter. This very beautiful girl was named Taataka, and when she grew up, she was given in marriage to Sunda, the son of Jamha. Later, the sage Agastya cursed Sunda to die. In their attempt to retaliate, Taataka and her son Maricha rushed towards the Rishi, hoping to devour him. Agastya, however, immediately cursed both mother and son to become man-eating Rakshasas. Thus, the beautiful Taataka became transformed into a horrible-looking ogress. And because Agastya Rishi used to meditate in this area, Taataka is obsessed with creating disturbances here. And so, my dear Ram, please understand that Taataka is thoroughly wicked. Therefore, cast aside all hesitation in killing a woman. Remember how Indra formerly killed Virochana's daughter when she desired to ravage the earth. Likewise, Lord Vishnu killed the wife of Bhrigu Muni when she had desired to slay Indra. Now, shake off all uneasiness and prepare yourself to fulfill my command. Upon receiving this order, Ram twanged his bow. Its awesome sound reverberated throughout the four directions, terrifying all creatures that heard it. When Taataka heard the sound of Ram's bow, she became simultaneously struck with wonder and inflamed with rage. She rushed madly towards the place from where the sound had emanated. When Ram saw her approaching, he exclaimed, "O Lakshman, just see this hideous and gigantic creature. She is so horrible that pious hearts break at the very sight of her. Still, since this Rakshasi is a woman, I shall not kill her. Instead, I will render her harmless, cutting off her hands, feet, nose, and ears. And thus mutilated, she will not be able to commit any further crimes." Rushing forward, Taataka created a dust storm that temporarily blinded Ram and Lakshman. Then, using her powers of illusion, Taataka created a shower of stones. Regaining his composure, Ram smashed all the rocks to pieces and then quickly cut off Tataka's arms. Simultaneously, Lakshman cut off Tataka's ears, and at Ram's urging, he cut off the tip of her nose. However, utilizing her mystic powers, Taataka immediately disappeared. While remaining invisible, she again began showering stones. With an impassioned voice, Vishvamitra then urged, "O Ram, twilight is rapidly approaching, and at that time, a Rakshasa's prowess greatly increases. Therefore, you should give up your merciful attitude and at once kill Taataka." As Ram released a shower of arrows, Taataka suddenly became visible, rushing towards him. Undisturbed, Ram selected an especially powerful golden arrow from his quiver, shooting it towards the demoness. Although Tataka rushed forward at the speed of Indra's thunderbolt, Ram's single blazing arrow pierced the chest of Tataka, causing her to fall to the ground dead while making a tumultuous sound. And from the heavens, the demigods applauded and threw down showers of flowers. The Gandharvas and Apsaras began to sing and dance in ecstasy, while great rishis praised the prowess of Lord Ram. The demigods, headed by Indra, then approached Vishvamitra in private. O Rishi, because Ram has a very important mission to accomplish on our behalf, you should now impart unto him all your knowledge of celestial weapons. And after saying this, the demigods disappeared, and Vishvamitra, Ram, and Lakshman happily spent the night there. The next morning, Vishvamitra imparted unto Ram his complete knowledge of celestial weapons. And when Ram received the mantras for those celestial weapons, the weapons themselves appeared before him in their personified forms. O Ram, give us your order. What service can we do for you? My request is that all of you appear before me whenever I think of you. So after receiving this command, the personified weapons disappeared. Vishvamitra, Ram, and Lakshman thus continued on their journey. Thus ends Ramayana, Balakanda, Part 4. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.